Chapter 12. Day 4. On the morning of the fourth day, Harm awoke in his rented room. He breathed deeply and yawned. The straw bed was too comfortable to leave, so he lay there and gazed at the bare timbers of the ceiling. Here and there a cobweb could be seen, and Harm even thought he spied the makers. Outside the wooden shuttered window, the world was coming alive, and there was a sleepy goodness on the air. Harm's eyes narrowed. He had to kill a man this afternoon. Blood match, blood fight, blood feud. They all meant the same thing. For whatever reason, two men had agreed to fight to the death. It happened all the time in the games. That didn't bother Harm. The Jiberian had no qualms about sending a man on his way, especially a noisy ass-licker like Vadrian. But the unpleasant business of what was to happen later that afternoon crept into the purity of the morning, ruining it, like spilled blood touching a piece of parchment. He then remembered the words of the Cree, Gaul. Harm knew he was good enough to fight a few men and win some coin. He could win enough to make it through a winter or until some other work came along, if he was wise with his money, and he rarely was. Then it would be a struggle to find something to take him to the next set of games. Truth be known, Harm wasn't much good at anything else besides fighting. He couldn't work wood, and he was clumsy around a forge. He couldn't read or write, except to scrawl his name. Farming was too boring, and handcrafts of any kind were laughable for his rough fingers. There was only one thing he was good at. One thing, Seddon save his soul, he enjoyed doing, and that was smashing heads. A mighty sigh left him. There wasn't anything else for him to do and do well. The sad thing was he fully understood he couldn't do it forever. These games might be the last for him. Today might even be the last day for him. It would be merciful if it was. But what if it wasn't? If he survived this day and even the next? He wondered what then. He was getting older, slower. Perhaps that was the reason he found Gaul's idea appealing. He'd have to give the notion greater thought, after this day. He got out of bed, bare-assed and brazen, as his mother used to say, and wandered to a table where a pitcher of water and a clay basin waited. He drank, and poured the rest into the basin. Then he plunged his head into the water, wet his face and hair, and snapped everything back out. Water flew. He massaged his scalp with one hand, considered cutting his hair as he disliked having it too long. Perhaps after the fight. He had no shirt, as it was too warm this time of year, and he had no qualms about walking about with his gut hanging out. He pulled on his breeches and slapped the bare flesh of his belly. Then came the sandals, which he slipped his feet into. He checked his leather purse, still quite full, and made his way to the door. Today would be a serious day, he thought, and removed the timber barring the door from the inside. Harm exited the alehouse alone, leaving his companions. They'd talked the night before, and the Jiberian informed them all he would see them at the arena. He wanted to collect his thoughts and not speak to anyone if he could manage it. Harm knew himself, and while he enjoyed company and conversation, he equally enjoyed solitude and quiet. This time, he preferred not speaking to anyone. Trouble was, there were a lot of people in the city of Sunja. The morning sun warmed the stone tiles of the street, but overhead, clouds threatened to blanket the sky. That wasn't a bad thing in Harm's mind. He liked the idea of fighting in the shade. The streets weren't too crowded this morning, but that would soon change. Harm walked against the growing current of people. Merchants took boards down off their street-side stalls as Harm strolled by, while others worked at unpacking their goods. Livestock were led down alleys. Workers climbed ladders to where other men hammered repairs into old rooftops. Under wide canopies, to shield them from the sun and rain, leather workers, with awls and strings, settled in at tables. Two men coaxed a forge to life, while a handful of women scrubbed clothing in wide washtubs. Harm caught a whiff of sewage, which didn't bother his senses. He spotted a stall with an old woman cooking eggs and fresh bread, and he stopped for breakfast. Others gathered around the old woman's offerings, making purchases and either walking away with the food or standing and eating it right there. When Harm finished his meal, he headed to the arena. It was early, but he had decided on something. He found the closed booths of the Domus and plopped down beside one, content to wait until it opened. There was nowhere else to go, and waiting was as good an idea as any. Harm placed his back against a wall, squinted at the sun, and relaxed. The open area surrounding Sunja's pit gradually filled with people waiting for the day's games. Merchants set up their food stalls. Some of them recognized the Jiberian and nodded. Others watched him warily. None dared approach. That suited Harm just fine. Later in the morning, a handful of Skars arrived. They stopped and positioned themselves around the small buildings, and Harm moved farther away so as not to bother them. All he needed was the attention of the city guard. The shuttered windows of the Domus opened shortly after the Skars' appearance. The coin keepers sat behind bars and busied themselves with coin matters. When he felt ready, Harm stood, dusted himself off, and went to one of the windows. He produced his leather purse.
"I wish to place a wager."
"On who?" the middle-aged keeper said, squinting. "Harm of Jiberia." The keeper consulted a list. "First fight of the day. How much?" Harm slid his purse through the slot beneath the bars. The keeper took it without comment. He emptied the leather and counted. Upon finishing, he reached underneath the counter and brought up a white marker. "We take 1 gold piece for the wager. Agreed?" Harm already knew it. He nodded. "Place your scrawl on this marker," the keeper instructed. Harm did so with a quill and ink from a small container. "Don't lose this. Understand?" the keeper admonished.
"I understand.
Off with you, then." A pensive Harm walked away. The wager was everything he had. If he won, the riches would be enough to do what? Well, he thought, it would be enough to keep busy, anyway.
He entered Sunja's pit by way of the entryway of the sun. He didn't immediately go to general quarters, but wandered over to the arena stands.
He made his way up a stairway and stood at the bottom line of seats ringing the arena. Thousands would be there later, but, at the moment, only handfuls sat here and there. Tanned men in loincloths and sandals groomed the sands with wide straw brooms. Harm watched them for a bit. The pissers were old and probably doing the work for a few silver coins, or even a copper. The more the Jiberian watched, the more he disliked the thought of having to do such work at such an age, if he lived to see it. Then he wondered what they thought of their lot in this life. Harm thought for a long time on that. He wasn't one to think too deeply into such matters, but there he was. All because of Gol and what he'd said. Shaking his head, Harm left the arena and made his way to the Gateway of the Sun, to the lower levels of general quarters. Once below, he waded through pit fighters of all shapes, sizes, and health, holding a hand to his nose. The chambers stunk with the night's air, open latrines, and the faint stink of blood. Eventually, Harm located his bag of equipment, waiting for him at the base of a wall. He pulled out the old leather sleeve, waving a hand at the odor. When he reached for his shield, he noted that his sword was missing.
"Sweet Sidon."
Harm straightened and shook his head. Had someone actually stolen his sword? He'd never heard of anyone stealing swords from general quarters since there were plenty of blades in the armory. It was considered bad luck to steal the sword of a living gladiator. Harm wondered if someone had mistaken him as dead. He glanced around and decided to visit the armory. "I need a blade," he said to the quartermaster behind a barred window. The armory man was hunched over, perhaps stricken with some unknown sickness, and possessed a large nose that appeared to have been broken at least once.
"Come around, then," the quartermaster said. "Choose what you like."
Harm entered the large room and gazed upon dusty aisles filled with racks of all manner of weapons and armor, all free to the gladiators in the games. He meandered along a rack and studied the selection. All the weapons were serviceable, usually taken from the dead and repaired if necessary. He skipped the assortment of axes and mauls, passed on the spears and maces, and began hefting and swinging swords.
One blade in particular, a short sword, got his approval.
I'll have this,
Harm rumbled.
When do you fight?
The quartermaster asked.
On the first.
Where are you?
Just out there.
Harm pointed to where he had left his bag. The quartermaster frowned.
I'll put an edge on it, put it in a scabbard, and bring it over to you before it's your time.
My thanks,
Harm said, and walked back into the great chamber. Pignot wandered into view.
I'm here,
the Siberian called out. Pignot turned around.
Didn't run after all, huh?
He smiled. Harm frowned. Placed my wager as well.
Did you know?
Everything.
Aye that. So you'll either be well off or dead.
Pignot seemed pleased.
Not a bad idea, really. Need help getting ready?
The day I need any help from you is the day I find myself wounded near death and surrounded by poor savages.
So you need help, then?
Aye that. After they had finished, Muluk appeared with Gol limping behind on his crutches. Muluk handed Harm the previously damaged greave. Harm took it, inspected the repair, and nodded his thanks.
How do you feel?
Muluk asked, sizing up the big man in his leather sleeve, studded leather skirt, and newly applied greaves. Harm gave him a tight-lipped smile.
I'll feel better when I collect from the domus.
We've placed our wagers as well,
Gold told him.
How much?
Almost everything, Muluk said.
Everything.
Gol watched for a reaction from the Siberian. Harm exchanged looks with Pignot. The Sanjan smiled.
I could have shown you better gambles than this dog here.
Do you think so, Harm?
Gol asked. The Siberian didn't reply, but stared across the chamber, through pockets of shadow and torchlight and men. The three companions followed his gaze. Vadrian the Fire appeared in the general quarters. Dressed in his leather armor and sporting bared weapons, the blond man strutted to the media. The warrior turned in the Siberian's direction. Vadrian's face twisted into hate. He fitted his winged helm to his skull and gave it a shake.
This day you die, Siberian! Vadrian shouted. This day you greet Saemon himself, you heathen shite!
Pignot grunted. The man's a punce. Harm grunted agreement.
Kill him just so we can have some quiet in here,
Muluk said, eyeing Vadrian in distaste.
I will try, friend Muluk.
Overhead, a roar shook the dark ceiling as the orator whipped the eager crowds into a frenzy for the first fight of the day. A blood match. No other contest demanded the same level of interest as when the two warriors fighting possessed a dislike for each other. Across the way, the media called out to Harm, informing him it was time. The Siberian donned his conical helm and hefted his square shield.
Where's ye?
Pignot began, impatience in his voice. The quartermaster appeared almost instantly.
Here you are. Apologies for being late.
Late? Harm grumbled. I could have forged a new blade myself in that time.
He looked at the smaller man, noting the broken nose again, and took the sword in its scabbard. Pignot helped him strap the weapon to his waist. The quartermaster retreated into the masses of pit fighters and disappeared. Harm watched him, however, and noticed the man didn't return to the armory.
Harm of Siberia!
The media roared.
It's time.
Pignot held out his fist. Sweat traveled down his back as Harm stood in armor at the base of the stairs. Light shone through the lowered portcullis above him. The same old bastard from before stood across from the Siberian, his hand on a lever. The gatekeeper eyed him evilly while chewing on something. Overhead, the orator introduced Vadrian.
I wagered against you,
the gatekeeper smirked, revealing a crenellated row of blackened teeth.
Dare say you'd wager against the sheep you call sons, old topper.
The older man grimaced as if he'd just swallowed poison.
May Simon take you to his hell.
He yanked down on the lever. Harm remained silent and supposed Simon just might. And soon. He jogged up the steps. The time for talking was done. Dark Courage clenched his jaw and looked upon the sands. The orator had finished introducing Vadrian the Fire, and now he focused on the Jiberian. Kurge rubbed the rough hand over his bald head and struck the stump of his left arm against a stone wall.
"You seem anxious this afternoon," Castillo said, lifting his mask and dabbing at his mouth.
"What would you know about it?"
Kurge snipped and stoked his jaw. "Vadrian the Fire," he mulled, "had better kill the free, trained bastard that had robbed him of his house's finest prospect for this year's games. The time and energy invested in priming a warrior for the season was immense, and to have such a fighter taken away from him by the likes of the unfit pisser entering the arena was almost too much for Kurge to bear. He intended to see the man killed, if not by Vadrian's hand, then by someone else's, and then send whispers into the city that he was responsible. It would all serve the greater glory of the House of Kurge. The introductions finished, the spectators screamed and cheered in anticipation. No one doubted Vadrian's skill, and the crowds were equally aware of the Jiberians. Both gladiators had the potential to deliver one of the most exciting fights of the games thus far. Word of the gladiators' dislike for each other had also spread amongst the onlookers. The best fights often erupted from those with the taint of hate on the air. Below, on groomed sands, Harn looked across the way and took in the huge form of Vadrian the Fire. The man's bronze helm gleamed in the afternoon sun, and he threw his arms wide, accepting the thunderous applause.
"Good people of Sunja, this fight is a blood match," the orator reminded them from above. "Only one man will walk away this day, and may the lords watch over the dead. And now, good people, a moment of silence for Vadrian's prayer of the pit."
Harm snorted.
"Prayer of the pit? Such gurry."
A suddenly solemn Vadrian pulled forth his sword, the blade flashing. Han remembered the Medimian blade then, once belonging to the Hellpup, whose name he didn't remember. He remembered the dead man's face, however, along with the image of him allowing Pignot to hold and swing that sword. Vadrian sank to one knee, and bowing his head began to pray.
"Sweet Sedan above!"
To hear the words spoken by such a person annoyed the Jiberian.
"Jigger that,"
Harm muttered, and decided he wouldn't allow such gurry. He brought up his sword, gripped his shield, and advanced. He was tired of the punce's theatrics. Cries of warning flew up from the crowd, loud enough to cause Vadrian to look up in mid-prayer. Harm increased his stride. The orator observed to the sand and saw the Jiberian about to charge.
"Good people of Sunja, on behalf of the gladiatorial chamber and King Jun's best wishes for you to be entertained, let the fight begin!"
Vadrian stood, just as Harm's sword flashed for his head. He deflected it off the small buckler strapped to his left arm and whipped his spiked fist across the Jiberian's visor, missing by a finger. Harm stabbed and stabbed again, driving the Sunjan back toward the arena wall. The Jiberian cracked his square shield toward a head, thrusting with his sword underneath, but the fire jerked himself out of Harm's way. Vadrian circled to his right, placing Harm's shield between both of them.
"Heathen! Shite! Interrupting my prayer, so I was right about you. You're unfit to live."
Harm smirked.
"And you are?"
"I have..."
Harm lunged, thrusting for the man's stomach, wanting to punch his sword's tip through to the man's back. Vadrian dodged the blow. The Jiberian wouldn't let him catch his breath, however, and rained a storm of sword chops and shield punches one after the other, grunting with the effort. Vadrian the Fire darted left, slipped right, backing away from the onslaught, until coming close to a wall. The people voiced their approval.
"You run well enough,"
Harm shouted, loud enough for the masses to hear. From behind his visor, Vadrian's eyes narrowed in anger.
"I'll cut your—"
Harm didn't want to listen. He unleashed a combination of strikes and slashes, robbing the wind from Vadrian's words. Yet the fire got out of Harm's way every time, avoiding the more dangerous attacks and ultimately evading the Jiberian.
"Simon, take your soul, you!"
Again, Harm came in swinging, sweat flying from his person. He aimed for his adversary's winged helm, but sliced only air. He cut for an arm, but had his blade knocked aside by Vaedrian's buckler. He fainted, intending to thrust for a chest, but the opening didn't happen. Worse, Harm realized he was getting tired.
"Godless! Cur!"
Vaedrian taunted, looking still fresh.
"You're no warrior at all. You're a poor excuse for a shite pile, a cow kiss. How did you ever get this far?"
The Jiberian lunged for a leg. The Sunjan was ready, however, and Harm caught the twinkle in Vaedrian's eye as he went by, missing the leg, and immediately had his helm rocked by a spiked fist. Harm crashed into the sand, his helm shifting and blinding him. He rolled onto his back, then his knees, and lashed out, striking nothing. The Jiberian hurried to correct his helm. When he did, he saw Vaedrian standing before him, waiting.
"Get to your feet, you unholy cur, and stop mucking about in the sand,"
Vaedrian bellowed for the people to hear.
"I've heard you Jiberians like to prance about in shite, but this is Sunjar. Our streets are made of stone."
Harm grimaced.
"See how he plays in the sand, good countrymen,"
Vaedrian shouted.
"See? I'm not certain the savage knows our tongue. Come here, fat man, come here and take the blessing of Seddon steel. I'll make it painless. One quick thrust through your black, heathen heart."
Taking a deep breath, Harm got to his feet. From where he watched, Curge smiled. He had to commend this Vaedrian. The man did indeed have talent. He played to the masses, making them laugh, while making the Jiberian look stupid. Curge might not trust the Sunjan, and he certainly wouldn't turn his back on him. But the man knew how to play to an audience. He even knew how to enrage a foe. That was an art form in itself. The golden face of Gastillo remained impassive, the owner sitting beside Curge in the box.
"Free, trained idiot,"
Nexus snapped on the other side of the box, shaking his head in disgust.
"Get up, damn you! Get to your feet, you unfit sheepshagger! At least die like a man! Lords above! See how he drags his fat ass up from the ground? Dying, Seddon! Dying, Seddon!"
Curge frowned and then remembered Nexus had lost one of his young fighters to the Sunjan below. Unfortunate, he thought, without truly meaning it, and focused once again on the match. Any fight that would grant him revenge, win him gold, and infuriate Nexus all at the same time was a good fight, indeed. From the gladiator-only viewing boxes built into the base of the arena walls, Pignot, Mullock, and Gaul watched through open archways at ground level. Pignot didn't understand what the Jiberian was doing. He swung at every word the Sunjan threw at him. And not only was he missing, he was becoming weary. That much was clear.
"What's he doing out there?"
Mullock asked. "I have no idea," Pignot answered. But Gaul suspected.
"See how slowly he rises from the sand," Vaedrian shouted at the crowds. "Like one..."
Harm stamped, sword shooting from his shoulder like a crossbow bolt. And as before, Vaedrian stepped aside and chopped downward, aiming for the Jiberian's outstretched arm. But it wasn't there. For most of the fight, Harm had let his foe think that his prattling was urging him on, that each verbal outburst would be answered with a flurry of cuts and jabs. Vaedrian would evade the attacks and counter with his own strikes. Harm also knew Vaedrian was becoming overconfident, fighting a clearly inferior Jiberian, and would never suspect that a trap. Thus, when Vaedrian lashed out with his counter, Harm was already pulling his sword arm back, his feint completely fooling his opponent. The Jiberian flicked his sword in a wide sweeping arc, drawing a red line across his foe's upper right shoulder. He charged then, seeking to take advantage of first blood, but Vaedrian recovered and nimbly retreated several steps, nowhere near hurt. Unfortunate, Harm thought. He was nearing his endurance's end.
You tricky bastard,
the Sunjin growled as he glanced at his wound. Well, now he has first blood.
Sedan above, I fight a godless dog that resorts to trickery. I knew you Siberians to be savages. I swear, I—
The warrior paused and considered his shoulder a second time. Taking deep breaths behind his guard, Harm was almost set to charge his foe once again, but his sword caught his attention, and the faint green sheen at the base of the blade, as slick as lamp oil. Harm's breath caught in his throat.
Poisoned.
His blade had been poisoned somehow, a poison that was already coursing for Vadrian's black heart. The Sunjin's eyes flashed outrage, fixing upon the Siberian with the very same realization. Vadrian drew breath to shout, to announce the wicked treachery to the arena, and Harm knew if the man uttered those words, it would mean his own death. A desperate energy took hold of the portly Siberian then. Harm attacked, throwing all of his remaining energy into a combination of slashes and thrusts. Vadrian's words never passed his lips as he defended himself. The Sunjin parried and blocked, turning aside blow after blow. Then he countered, swinging for Harm's head and grimacing with the effort. The poison slowed Vadrian. Harm knew it instinctively as he ducked under the wide cut, pivoted, and hacked the Sunjin's sword arm off at the wrist. Blade and hand flew from the son of Seddon, and the fanatic turned as if unaffected, studying his ruined arm. Harm reset himself, struggling for air, but Vadrian lunged with a speed that caught the Siberian off guard. A heavily muscular arm, the stump still spewing blood, clamped around the Siberian's neck and pulled him close.
Not yet. Treacherous son.
Vadrian squeezed Harm's head to his chest.
Oh, I'm not done.
Yet. The close contact shifted Harm's helm once more, blinding him, just as a spiked fist crashed into his gut. Fat iron needles stabbed deep and robbed him of his breath, twisted and withdrew. Harm slumped, almost fell to his knees, but Vadrian held him upright with a strength belonging to the vengeful righteous, and he continued to talk.
I feel,
the fanatic shouted over the building, cheering from the crowds. Harm tried to twist away, but Vadrian fastened onto his head even tighter, squeezing the air from his throat.
The fire!
Vadrian barked to harsh applause. Spikes slammed into Harm's belly a second time, hard enough to cause black stars to appear.
In me!
Vadrian shouted. A third punch to Harm's stomach, and something ripped down there. His legs buckled.
But before I die...
A fourth punch broke Harm's ribs like frail kindle.
People!
Vadrian gasped, still holding the wounded Siberian to his chest.
This maggot... Ha!
With his last remaining strength, Harm brought his sword up and sawed at the underflesh of Son of Seddon's right armpit, drawing his weapon's razor edge back like a bow to a fiddle, before plunging it deep into bare, unprotected flesh. He shoved deep, cutting for the insane man's heart. Vadrian shivered with violence, and his mighty strength disappeared all at once. He sputtered, blood flecking his lips, and regarded his killer with jerky movements. Then he collapsed on his back. Vadrian's severed stump wavered upright for a heartbeat, before falling and thumping the sand. Blood pooled about the fallen warrior. He shuddered once more and became still. Not quite believing he was still alive, Harm bent over on unsteady legs, grasped his sword, and shoved the weapon deeper. Blood gushed over the hilt, hiding any trace of the blade's poison. Harm stayed that way until his head cleared, though his lower ribs sparkled with pain. The sand became a scarlet stew under the dead man, hiding any evidence of the poison, at least as far as Harm could tell. And he knew the day's bodies would be burned. Just to be sure, however, he straightened, took a quick gulp of air, and kicked sand over the corpse's torso. He stepped away from the corpse, the full weight of his wounds hitting him and distantly realized that, for the first time, people were cheering his name. Dark Kurge's back stiffened so quickly that Gastillo initially thought someone had rammed a length of steel up his arse. The old gladiator stood, pounded his stump against the nearby stone wall, and shoved a servant aside as he stomped out of the box. Gastillo watched him go, surprised, but far from disappointed.
I suppose he had coin wagered on that match, Gastillo said, and wiped at the drool hanging from his mangled lips.
I suppose so, a cool Nexus replied.
Gastillo glanced at the man out of the corner of his eye. The wine producer seemed unusually smug, an abrupt change to his earlier mood. It was a strange contrast, and Gastillo made note to think about it at greater length when he was alone. He sensed something afoot. Holding a hand to his belly wound, Harm half-turned and squinted at the people cheering his name. The sword Vadrian had used then stole his attention. The Medemian sword. Cringing with discomfort, Harm walked over to the weapon and pried the blade from Vadrian's severed hand. He hefted it, looked at the characters stamped on the metal, and slipped it into his scabbard. Harm had no intention of allowing such a fine weapon to go to the pit's armory. The scabbard wasn't the right length for the blade, but that could be fixed with a new one, which he intended to purchase with his considerable winnings. That put a smile on the Jiberian's face. He applied pressure to his wound, and his smile disappeared. The brutal blows had hurt badly, perhaps a couple of broken ribs or more. Harm sighed. Even though he'd won his fight, the games might very well be over for him. Ignoring the crowds, the Jiberian trudged to the open tunnel. Thoughts of poison and gold dimmed the pain of his side. Chapter 13 Musings.
You're damn lucky, the grey-haired healer said, as he wrapped bandages around the Jiberian's midsection. Your fat saved you.
Really?
Like a big pillow. The healer squinted, narrowing intelligent blue eyes. If it was any of those other bastards with nary a shred of fat on their bones, I dare say I'd be putting their guts back in.
The healer drew the bandages tight, drawing a hiss from his patient, and tied them off.
Off with you, then. I'd tell you to only drink water and to rest until mended, but I don't think you'd listen.
Harm slid off the table and moved through the empty infirmary. He paused at the door.
Thank you for that.
It's my job,
the healer remarked. You do it well. The healer turned away from him. Harm walked down a torchlit hall, toward the general quarters. Pignut, Mullock, and Gaul had left him for the Domus, to collect their sizable winnings. Harm had his own market to cash in, and he wondered how much it would amount to. Probably enough for a woman or 20, and definitely enough to keep a man in fine spirits until he had to fight again. Harm didn't know when that would be. He wasn't eliminated from the tournament, but he had to return when called upon, else be removed from contention. A ghostly roar of the crowds reached him through the ceiling. The fight on the sands was an entertaining one.
Good Harm,
a voice from an alcove reached his ears. The Jiberian stopped and turned. A man of medium height and dressed in well-made robes stepped from the shadows. The stranger raised a hand in greeting.
What is it you want? Harm asked. A moment of your time, good sir.
He thought about it, his hand resting on the pommel of the Medemian blade jutting from an ill-fitting scabbard. The gesture didn't go unnoticed.
I assure you, sir, the stranger said, that's not needed. I have some very good news, if you are inclined to listen.
Lead on, then, Harm said, wondering if this person was responsible for the poisoned blade. The stranger led Harm to a wooden door and ushered him inside. The room was empty, illuminated by torches. Harm knew they were on the level underneath the general quarters, and he wondered why the room was bare. Not a chair and table lay within it, only warm air. Harm turned to the stranger.
What is it, then? I won't keep you any longer than necessary, good Harm.
The Jiberian didn't like the way the man called him good. Harm knew Vadrian had been poisoned, and it was that reason alone he'd managed to defeat the screaming Hellpup. That knowledge tainted his victory over the Sunjin. It also didn't make Harm feel particularly good, at least not in the way the stranger meant it.
"My name is Varno."
The man's blue eyes were steady.
"I represent the school of Gastillo. Perhaps you've heard of him."
"I have."
"Excellent. Excellent."
The other smiled, displaying fine white teeth.
"My master, Gastillo himself, has noted your skill in the arena and would like to extend to you an invitation to join his school, to further your training, and prepare you for the day you might very well fight for the arena title."
"I see." The response drew a perplexed expression from the man.
"Well, I might add that it's a great honor to receive such an invitation, from one of the top gladiator schools in Sunja, no less. To be chosen is a compliment to your skills at arms."
"Hmph. That's so." Varno paused. He cleared his throat.
"To be chosen to...
Yes, you've explained it all well enough. But I have not explained the benefits of being a gladiator. I already am a gladiator." Varno smiled.
"Of course. I meant a recognized gladiator, belonging to a prestigious school or house. The value of such..."
"I dare say," Harm interrupted, already bored. "I'll be plenty recognized after today."
"Where are you going?"
Varno asked, suddenly alarmed. "To collect my gold," Harm replied. "Then to get drunk. Mead and ale are the best killers of pain I know of."
"What about my master's offer?"
"What about it?" A confused Varno blinked.
"Are you refusing his generosity?"
Harm smiled. "His generosity? I would have to pay him for my learning, would I not?"
"Yes, that's correct, but..."
"And you think I have to be part of a school, just to be recognized? Maybe to even have a chance?"
"That is correct."
Harm shook his head. "Not for me."
"What do you mean, not for you?"
"Good..." Varno smiled again. Harm didn't like the smug expression. "I will do this on my own."
"But you cannot."
"Why can't I?"
"You are a free trained..."
Varno explained, as if talking to a child.
"No free-trained warrior has ever won the games."
"That so?"
"Yes. In fact, there has never been a free-trained warrior in any of the later rounds."
Harm grunted.
"We'll have to change that." "We'll have to..."
Varno sputtered.
"You don't understand.
None of the gladiatorial schools will let a free-trained warrior progress. Even if you manage to win a few matches, they'll single you out, in or out of the arena, and do whatever it takes to
kill me."
Harm cocked an eyebrow.
"I never said that."
Varno held up his hands. "But they will not allow you to advance in the games."
"Let them try, then,"
the Jiberian growled. Varno appeared to be at a loss.
"You simply don't understand. They will stop you by any means. They don't recognize free-trained warriors.
Gladiators.
For you to even fight amongst them,"
Varno continued, offering no apologies for the slight,
"is seen as a slap across their bare cog and bells. You're an affront."
"A what?"
"An affront. An insult to their profession. If you say no to me and to any other offers, they will eventually find out. And when they learn you actually refused an invitation, they..."
Varno trailed off, shaking his head.
"They'll punish you."
"I see." Harm stepped to the door. "I still say no. Go back to your master and tell him that."
"You'll be a hunted man," Varno warned. "One against hundreds."
"I'm that now, you punts," Harm growled. With that, he left the stunned messenger alone in the room. Harm smirked as he closed the door. What did he care about joining a group of pampered warriors? The games were always suspect for being underhanded, and the poison he had detected on his own blade soured his own beliefs. This invitation business and warning ruined it all the more. He wondered if he should just take his winnings and run. His shadow appeared and disappeared on the wall as he walked through pockets of torchlight. Harm decided to not head to the surface right away. Instead, he made his way back to the armory, holding his side as he did so. He pushed through the masses housed in general quarters and stopped before the barred window of the armory. The quartermaster within looked up from inspecting a dagger.
"What do you want?"
he asked. He was a taller man, gaunt, with his hair shaved close to the skull, a different man entirely than the one who handed Harm the poison blade.
"Where is the other man?"
the Siberian inquired, keeping his voice calm.
"What other man?"
the quartermaster stated.
"The other man."
"There is no one here but me."
"What about the short one here earlier?"
"The short one?"
"Yes, he allowed me to—" Harm trailed off and shut his mouth. He could tell by the quartermaster's puzzled expression he knew nothing of what had happened. Saying anything more might incriminate the Siberian in ways unknown to him. Without another word, he patted the iron bars and left the armory, deciding it best to put the entire event behind him. Vadrian was dead, and Harm was due some coin. He found a stairway leading to the surface. It was time to collect his gold. Thoughts of listening to Gol entered Harm's mind. That house idea of his wasn't an entirely bad thing. Perhaps being drunk would help him think more on the subject. It certainly couldn't hurt. But the poisoning of Vadrian remained at the back of his skull, scratching at bone. Not as happy as he would have liked to be, Harm of Siberia climbed the stairs to daylight. Later that night, after the day's fights were done, a content Nexus lounged on a bed of fine pillows and sipped wine from a goblet of polished silver. He relaxed in his private chambers, with shuttered windows curtained by long flowing drapes of dark satin. The smell of rosemary hung in the air, heavy and choking to anyone unaccustomed to it. Nexus, however, breathed it in deeply and loved its heady scent. Wine, incense, and perhaps a woman or two was his way of celebrating good fortune. The day at Sunja's pit had seen his wagers bring in gold aplenty, and he had watched the death of the Sunjan responsible for the slaying of one of his own at the start of the games. The Kas Jantos were expensive, but they were always reliable. When the time was right, he would allow a whisper of the revenge to circulate into the populace, and that would cause people to fear the name of Nexus. He lay back on a hill of cushions, careful not to spill any wine. The games. He'd only been part of the games for a short while, but in that time he'd learned much. Nexus was a quick study of the sport and its attention to strategy. It was certainly much more exciting than haggling with merchants. The only thing he didn't like, but saw as a necessity, was feigning ignorance in front of his fellow, more experienced owners of older houses and schools. Castillo wasn't so bad, and malleable, but Courage was a barbarous swine dressed in expensive clothing and calling himself otherwise. "No," Nexus corrected. That description better fit Castillo. Courage was adult in thinking Nexus was inexperienced in matters of the games. The games were business, in reality, and Nexus excelled in business. It was easy to play the ignorant newcomer around Courage and Castillo, even going so far as to throw exaggerated fits in their presence. Nexus supposed they would eventually see through his ruse, but the wine merchant hoped it didn't happen this season. Eventually, yes, but not too soon. He wanted his slyness to be recognized and appreciated. His thoughts returned to the day when he'd first seen Vadrian the Fire fight his man. The Sunjan had killed his gladiator, but that wasn't really the knife in his craw at all. Nexus sipped his wine. The killing had only mildly put him off, as he recognized Vadrian's skills straight away. He used the guise of being infuriated, however, to leave and give instructions to one of his agents, charging him to find Vadrian, extend the offer to join the school of Nexus, and fight under that banner. It was an offer that scant few free-trained fighters would decline. Vadrian had, however. Even further insulting, Nexus believed the savage had murdered the agent sent. Another slap in the face. If Vadrian had been a rival merchant,
Nexus would have made it so that the fanatical Sunjin would suddenly discover it exceedingly difficult to purchase goods from other producers. Nexus had done it in the past, exerting all of his considerable influence upon lesser merchants to break them or drive them out of business entirely. There were plenty of ways to deal with slights in matters of moving goods, some more deadly than others. In this business, if a gladiator died, no one cared in the least. It was all part of the games. Well, the venerable businessman thought as he drank and smacked his lips, see how you like rotting in your grave. Vadrian the Fire was the first free-trained warrior to cross Nexus. Sipping on his wine, he wondered if there would be others. Sedan above as his witness, he hoped there would be. Days. 10. Book 2. Chapter 1. Chipped pitchers rose up in the middle of the table, creating an empty fortress that towered over a surface worn with pockmarks, gouges, and lettering of unknown meaning. Wooden cups surrounded all this, long abandoned in favor of drinking straight from the pitchers. When one was as numb as the present company, it was important to get as much down as possible with the least amount of refilling. Harm held on to his pitcher for dear life, and blinked slowly at the curved container. Wine. It was half filled with the shite. Somewhere during the night he'd stopped drinking ale and switched over to this particular poison. Not that it was bad. He'd learned long ago that if one started out drinking one kind of slop, one should finish the night drinking that same slop. It was in one's gut's best interest. Changing halfway through the evening was a guarantee that he was going to regret the dawn, if he lived to see it. One good thing about the wine's magic was how it suppressed the ache in his ribs and belly. Harm gazed at the white bandages covering his wounds, and noted that they weren't bloody at all. Keep them clean, change them often, the healer had told him, saying nothing about drinking until blind. Still, the pit's healer had trussed him up damned fine. Harm would have to thank him again sometime. Harm leaned back, thudded against the wall, and knew it was going to hurt that much more in the morning. He and his three companions sat and drank in the same alcove of the same alehouse they'd come to occupy a couple of times. The air boomed with laughter. Bar wenches squealed while nuzzling into their men. Slurred insults cut across the smoky interior. Harm picked up smells of sweat, foul body odor, and spilled drink. Muluk sat next to him, partially concealed in shadow, whispering in a woman's ear and making her smile. Pignot roamed about the main floor, appearing and disappearing amongst the glistening mob of flesh occupying it. Two wenches clung to him as if he were a broken spar, keeping them alive in a sea of drowning men. Pignot's eyes, dark and unsettling as a crazy rat's, seemed to Harm to have swelled three times their size, giving his smile an unsettling, predatory gleam in the gauzy air.
Are you still with us?
Gol's voice, from across the table.
Aye, that, Harm said after a moment, blinking dreamily. You look dead.
Really?
Harm cocked a curious brow.
Feel good. Can't even feel this.
He touched his bandages. Gol stood up, stumbled, and inspected his companion's dressings. Frowning, he reached across the table with his own heavily bandaged arms and pulled Harm's hands away from his belly. He dropped them on the table, across a moat of wine that had somehow collected before the pitchers. Harm made a face. Nodding to himself, the Cree plopped back into his seat, landing hard and mussing up his sandy hair, which fell into his eyes. The swollen part of his jaw and face pulsed like a fat vein. Like Pignot's, the Cree's eyes appeared dark and soulless, and seemed to bulge out of his skull. Harm regarded him as he would some sort of curious bug undergoing a strange yet undecided metamorphosis. He looked from Gol to the wine, back to Gol, and back to the wine once more.
Not bad.
Harm's mind buzzed, and he belched hard enough that he thought he might have just pissed himself. Then he paused and wondered if he only thought he just had, or if he'd actually done it. Seddon above. The wine was getting better. He'd be buying more. Same as hell. He'd buy them all, more of the swill. Don't pick at those, Gol ordered him, meaning the bandages. The Cree's mantis eyes swiveled in their sockets, and Harm wasn't sure if he was looking at him or someplace else.
All right. Good. We have to talk, you know.
Huh?
We have to talk about what to do tomorrow.
Oh.
Malak sighed with exasperation and lapsed into Cree speech, none of which Harm could understand. Sometimes he wished he could hear his native Jiberian tongue being spoken, but tonight wasn't one of those nights. Muluk turned back to him. As with the others, his eyes were damn near popping out of his face. The frightful things appeared the size of white saucers. Even worse, the Cree's yellow teeth jutted out of his jaw at irregular angles and lengths, and his scraggy features shrank underneath the expanding eyes, which were blackening like a spider's. Harm didn't feel any fear, however. If anything, he was genuinely amused by his companion's interesting new looks.
I told him to leave you alone.
Muluk leaned over and smiled, his teeth springing forth from his mouth like great fence pickets. Harm chuckled, remained calm, and took another pull from his pitcher.
Don't mind, Harm replied. What is it we have to talk about, anyway?
See, Gol said accusingly to Muluk, go back to her.
On cue, the woman next to Muluk, a blonde-haired girl of perhaps 20, pulled him closer. Muluk said something that sounded like a curse, but then he was in his companion's arms, half-smothered in limbs gleaming like wet pearls in the overhead lamp.
The Guild.
Gol leaned forward, his eyes now ogling different points of the alcove. It was difficult to meet his gaze.
Are you drinking this?
Harm held out his wine. Both of Gol's eyes lined up to peer inside the pitcher. He shook his head. Harm observed that when Gol leaned forward, parts of the man's scalp rose and swelled as if plums were about to pop forth.
Where'd you get this?
Gol asked. Harm pointed at the throng of people. In the middle of the men and women, Pignot crowed and grinned like a hyena.
Him?
Gol's swollen face split into a hideous smile that might have reached the back of his ears. It fascinated Harm while the table stretched out in all directions at once.
Pignot!
Gol motioned for the Sunjan to come forward. He did, grin blazing as if it were pitch on fire, with two women still clinging to his muscular arms.
What?
He looked from Gol to Harm, and then blinked again at Harm. Seeing those mighty eyes close and open made Harm smile in delighted wonder.
You poisoned him, Gol shouted.
Did no such thing, you ponce. Look at the man. He's pickled.
Harm did indeed feel pickled. Not that it was a bad thing. Pignot zoomed in closer, his face a black moon of eyes and concerned smiles. He tisked, and the sound crackled like ocean rocks tumbling over each other. Pignot remarked.
If he's in there, he's feeling no pain, I wager.
What is this?
Gol demanded, indicating the pitcher.
Sunjan Gold, Pignot answered. The finest I could buy in this pissle. He deserved a little taste of the good stuff after putting that screamer into the ground.
Wine couldn't have done this to him.
Well,
Pignot said slyly, maybe I bought a little something more, and maybe he ate it.
You!
Gold trailed off, shaking his head and appearing horrified.
He's not going to perish or anything,
Pignot countered.
I'd say he's perished and come back,
Muluk added from the depths of his woman's arms.
Didn't ask you,
Pignot said.
I'll remember that when he's pissed himself.
Pignot frowned and shook his head.
He's not going to piss himself.
Then to Harm,
don't piss yourself.
I wanted to talk to him this night,
Gol said, his voice cutting through the momentary darkness of Harm closing his eyes.
About what?
Pignot asked. Both his and Gol's faces resembled suns now.
Starting a house of our own.
Did you take a sip of that?
Pignot wanted to know,
sending his clinging women into giggles.
What do you mean?
Now's not the time to speak of starting houses. I'll get a woman for you. I don't want a woman.
What do you mean you don't want a woman?
Look at these! You should...
Wait. You're not a daisy, are you?
Gull looked mortified.
No, I'm not a... Look. Off with you. Get a room.
Who needs a room? Pignot exclaimed, the next alcove over as the table cleared.
Gold had no response to that.
Right. We're off.
Pignot suddenly swooped both women off their feet and squeezed them to squeals. With a roar, he spun out of sight.
Doesn't he fight in the morning?
Muller gasped. I'm not sure he knows, Gold replied, or cares.
A slow blinking Harm watched the Sunjin disappear around a corner. Even though it was only a corner, the simple completion of the movement fascinated him. He scratched at his belly and regarded Gol across the table.
Start a house.
A house.
Gol nodded, taking the lead and leaned in.
I've been thinking more on it.
Been thinking too.
Harm grunted and took a dangerous sounding breath.
You see the wisdom in it.
Harm grunted again.
Can't keep doing this.
He patted his bandages. Getting old. Sooner or later, a screamer like Vadrian the Pisser is going to fishhook me dead. So, I that. A house seems a good reckoning, I figure.
He exhaled hard enough to rattle his lips, wrinkling up his face, and spittle flew.
This is pickled talk, Muluk said, and rattled off a burst of Cree.
Gol erupted in a louder burst of Cree, silencing him with a harsh look. For a moment, they glared at each other across the table.
Not fit in the head, Harm mumbled, getting both the men's attention.
Castillo talked to me this day?
Who?
Gol pressed. Castillo.
Castillo talked to you?
Aye that.
Wait! Harm had to think hard on that count.
No. No, not Castillo. A man
for Castillo wanted me to join his school.
Castillo did? Mullock asked, quiet awe in his voice.
Did. I said no.
Gol sank back against his wall and gazed heavenward.
Thank the lords for that. You don't want to be with them.
Harm screwed up his jowls and shook his head in distasteful agreement.
But the idea that they noticed you is heartening. They noticed you, Harm. They could even have eyes on you this very moment.
Doubt that, Mullock said. This place is only for free, trained, and farmers. The real gladiators are in better holes than this. This summoned from Gol another verbal lashing in Cree. Muluk countered with an equally heated retort, but Gol's voice rode above it in a crash of angry sound, drowning the other. A sour Muluk gave a lingering, dirty look to his countryman and turned back to the woman at his side.
Hope not, Harm said after that spent charge of anger.
You hope not. Gol composed himself.
Feel like... about to piss myself.
Gol's hands fluttered in warning.
Don't piss yourself, don't. Hear me out first, all right?
All right, friend Gol.
Castillo sent someone to speak with you. That means they want you with them, but you'll be just another face in their stable, not an owner.
Not, Harm croaked.
Who?
An owner. Not at all. With what I have in mind, you'd be an owner. We'd all be owners.
His eyes shifted to Muluk.
They won't let us, the other Cree warned. If we establish a house, a school, they'd have to.
The only thing they'd have to do is kill the lot of us, Muluk grumped.
I've heard stories. We're meat to them. All the free trained is meat. Just waiting to be cut up, to be bled.
They don't take any of us serious.
They took him serious.
Gol pointed at Harm.
And he said no.
Muluk cut in again.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a pack of men waiting for him outside this night.
They do that to the ones who turn down such invitations, you know. They bait them into maggot shite. We'll have to watch them, you know.
This time, a pensive Gold stared at Mullock.
Mullock's right,
he finally let out, his eyes shifting to Harm.
We'll have to be careful with you this night, and any others. All the more reason to band together now.
Band? Both Harm and Mullock asked.
Yes, the free trained,
as many as we can get to our banner.
There are hundreds of us, hundreds, all fighting over scraps. I believe if we establish a free-trained house, the other houses and schools don't dare touch any of us. Not like before. Even better if we can find ourselves a taskmaster and trainers.
Mullock sputtered and struggled out of his woman's grasp.
Taskmasters? The tournament's already begun.
You're talking about shite that rightfully should have been done a year ago, 2 years ago. Are you certain you're not drinking the same piss he is?
No one's to say when we set up a house, only that we do. The sooner, the better. The very notion would hide our ability and ambitions from the major and minor houses. I'm thinking their asses would fall off from laughing, and we can use that to our advantage.
Mullock shook his head, speechless.
Look, they went after Harm. He refused them. That's an insult that will bring about punishment. The likes, I doubt even bathing in Sunjin Gold will fend off. We need to group together for the protection alone. If anything, think of the coin that could be ours.
It costs gold to even get the chamber to recognize us, and then the taskmasters and trainers will need to be paid. Where's all that coming from?
We'll get it.
What about a place to train them, hm? They won't allow us in the pit. In fact, the idea of house fighters living in the pit is a joke.
Using their weapons and armor, I can hear it now.
We'll get our own.
You're unfit in the head.
Mullock's eyes narrowed.
I thought you'd be smarter than this.
I am,
Gol fumed, staring back hard.
Oh, I am. No one will join us. They will. Do you even know how much it'll all cost to do this during the season?
I'll find out.
Mullock stared at him as if he'd grown two more faces.
Madness. You're unfit.
Unfit?
Never thought I'd say that.
You?
He jabbed a finger at Gol.
Unfit? Here?
And he tapped his own temple. Gol didn't answer him. For a while, from beyond the confines of the alcove, the sounds of drinking and talking and making merry filled the air. Gol looked at the revelers for a long, sobering moment before turning back.
What do you think, Harm?
Harm shrugged. He took everything he had. Gol smiled in spite of himself.
Tomorrow, I'm going to the gladiatorial chamber. I'm going to ask to see them. You,
indicating both Harm and Mullock, can decide for yourselves if you want to join me or hear about it later. But I tell you this now. I was trained by the Weapon Masters of Kree, and I'm not about to give up anything I set my mind to. And I've set my mind to this. Harm noted the stiffening of Mullock's hairy jawline. The Jiberian had to ask,
These weapon masters any good?
Mullock smiled at his companion.
They are?
Harm said in a drunken tone of,
Oh, really?
He passed out then, the darkness rising up in the shape of the table's surface. When he hit it, it was a distant, solid thud, like a fist being driven into a slab of heavy meat. A moment later, he was snoring. Chapter 2 The city lights, oil lamps and open torches dipped in pitch, flickered across a dark canvas of knobs and points underneath a darkening skyline. A draft pushed the smells of the city to Kurge, and he wrinkled his nose upon getting a whiff of sewers. He took a drink from a clay wine bottle, swallowing three times before letting it drop, and wiped his mouth with the stump of his left arm. If his house had been built a little higher, he would have a fine view of Sanja's glittering wares. As it was, he could see only a fraction of what he might have otherwise. That little thought poisoned him and turned his innards a hot, vengeful red. After the loss of Samarhead and the defeat of Vadrian, and knowing Harm of Jiberia still drew breath, It didn't take too much to have pleasant thoughts turn into something dangerous. Easy to hate, he thought, and he hated the Jiberian now. Somewhere out beyond his compound's walls, Harm was probably drinking himself into a stupor. That knowledge alone rankled the old warrior. Free-trained were mostly inexperienced, undisciplined, and uncivilized hell-pups in the games, and when one got lucky enough to kill one of his investments, Courage took it personally. He took it very personally. He drank again, savoring the dry yet tart burn of the grape, and wondering if it might have come from one of Nexus's vineyards. If it did, he couldn't wait to piss it out. Hate. So very easy to hate. He scoured the dark tops of the city, shadowed peaks and roof tiles below higher burning points of light, and thought evil thoughts. Just under him were the courtyard and training area where his 29, 8 gladiators prepared themselves under the watchful eye of Courage's taskmasters and trainers. High torches affixed to posts in four corners burned low now, and transformed the sandy ground into a grim mire. The bottle emptied, and Courage held it before him, contemplating hurling it over the balcony and watching it smash beneath. It stayed in his fist and trembled under the pressure Courage directed around the neck. Unable to crush it, he sighed and half turned around, holding it at arm's length. A servant, a young shapely woman dressed only in the barest of robes, came forward and took it away from him. She provided another bottle, and Courage didn't bother looking at her as he removed the cork with his teeth. The wine gushed down his throat, more fuel for the murderous thoughts smoldering within him, and when he finally lowered the drink, he bared teeth and hissed, savoring the smooth taste of berries. "Bazange," the large man growled, speckling the air with wine. "I'm in a foul mood this night. Foul mood." Courage turned around and met the gaze of his baby-faced agent. The much smaller man stood before a bare wall, underneath a flickering torch. The room was minimalist, with nothing more than a few lounging chairs made of cherry wood and cushioned with soft squares of red satin. It was enough for a meeting room where Courage could entertain his guests or motivate his servants. The once gladiator knew that Bazange's innocuous features served them both well, for the man was a weasel of the deadliest kind. Bazange used words to get what he wanted, and Courage mentally patted himself on the back for finding him and bringing him onto his side. "I want that Jiberian dead." The space between Bazange's eyes furrowed for a moment.
"I will make the arrangements if you wish."
"Arrangements?" Courage slurred. "I want the man killed in the arena, not butchered in the street. I haven't gone that far, you shite-speckled idiot."
"My apologies, Lord. I misunderstood."
"Aye, you did. Anyone can hire a killer to stab a man in his sleep or the main square. I want the man killed in the pit, on the sands, in front of thousands. I want a damned spectacle made of that foreign bastard."
Courage walked over to one of the chairs and sat down heavily. The servant moved to place cushions at his back, but he shooed her away with a drunken frown.
"I'm getting as soft as these things. There was once a time when my name would make children shite white about their ankles."
"It still does, my lord."
Bazange added quickly, "There isn't anyone in Sunja that doesn't fear and respect the House of Courage. Even those that don't attend the pit know and talk about your matches from long ago. Wars you fought and won in spectacular fashion.
If we were to go and walk along the streets right now and listen to the people talk in their hovels, you'd hear your name mentioned a score of times, and all would be in awe."
Courage studied Bazange with all the grace of a lion tired of the sun. He waved his stump in his agent's direction, cutting off the stream of shite that would have continued if Courage allowed it. Bazange was a weasel, but he could be too obvious about it at times.
"Shut up," Courage told him. "What I was thinking, if you would take your tongue out of my ass for a moment, is for you to pay greater attention to the bastard's whereabouts. He was hurt in that fight with that lunatic Vadrian. I want to know how badly. It might stop him from coming back to fight. I'm well and truly jiggered if he doesn't."
Bazange appeared to think,
As you wish, my lord. And issue the blood challenge. Get it out there. Tell the media to post it on his bloody board. If that flick of maggot shite is hurting, I want him to know that when he returns, he'll be facing another one of my hell-pups. He may have pulled the rag of fortune out of Seddon's crack to put Summerhead and then Vadrian into the ground, but I want him to regret every passing moment for yanking it out and leaving a burn. If he's suspicious enough, he'll be looking over his shoulder at Shadows anyway. Not that I'd have anyone cut him like that. Unprofessional. The free-trained might be a pack of unfit, whinging whelps, but they are taking up the steel. And be clear on this. No one is to lay a hand on that walking shite sack unless it's in the arena.
No one has in the past, my lord.
I know that, you brazen tit. I'm making certain you know that so that you won't be going about doing something without my knowledge, thinking it's what I wanted in the first place. As for my dogs, I'll warn those he-bitches in the morning. Lords know they'll be tempted this time around. Never has a free train struck down one of my own. Never. And know this. If I don't ward them off, they'd eventually find him in the streets and lure him down some alley, and then that fat topper would sing. I can guarantee you that.
Kurge stopped then and gazed towards a dark wall, shaking his head in dangerous reflection.
Jiberians, more trouble than they're worth. Thanks Seddon that only a few ever venture this far southwest.
It is rare to have them in Sunja.
Kurge sized up the curves of the woman serving him and looked away in mounting annoyance.
How goes the wagering?
He finally asked. Bazanji's face revealed nothing.
Poorly,
my lord, but we've only had the one victory, that belonging to Summerhead. It's still early. That got Kurge thinking black thoughts once more. A pinch of pain, sharp and lingering, took him in the belly, and caused him to fume all the more. If he got any angrier and didn't release it soon, he imagined he'd burn a hole in his very flesh. That made him rise. He walked over to a wall covered in the weapons he used when he was a gladiator fighting in Sunja's pit. He chose to keep them, like old venerable friends, in the meeting room, as he knew such a collection both impressed and